Now, John chapter 15, and let me tell you something about this passage of Scripture before we begin, which is very important. This passage of Scripture is not for everybody. It is not for the world in general, not at all. This is family truth. These are family words. Now, in this order, mail receives my attention. Number one, I despise to pick up a piece of mail which has on the address box holder. Really, don't even look at it. I just see box holder, and it goes in the waste can. Box holder. The second type of mail that receives almost as little attention is a farm letter. Dear friends, I've had people tell me constantly that what I need to do to save time, they've told me this, is instead of writing these television listeners that send contributions, that I should draw up a form letter, dear friends, and say the same thing, let Martha run it on the copier, and when the letter comes from one of those people, an offering comes, just send them a form letter. I don't read them. A mimeographed form letter goes almost as quickly into the waste can as a box holder. But I will enjoy a typed letter, one that someone types to me personally. But I tell you, one that gets my attention is one written by hand in ink from that person, dear Henry. Love, George. And that's what this is. This is family letter. It's family truth right here. You see, our Lord in chapter 15 is continuing. You who know something about this part of John's gospel. He started this in John 13. You remember, look back there for a moment, John 13. Now, before the feast of the Passover, verse 1, Jesus knew that his hour was come that he should depart out of the world. Having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and he was come from God, went to God, he arises from supper, laid aside his garments, and washed the disciples' feet. That's when he started talking to them. It's just the chosen few were there. And our Lord began to talk to them. And then in chapter 14, he continues this talk with them. See, chapter 14, verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He goes on talking to these disciples. This is family fare. This is private talk with the disciples from the Lord. And look at the last verse in chapter 14. The last verse. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. In other words, they've been here in this upper room. They've observed the Passover and the Lord's table. He washed their feet. He's been talking to them. He's been comforting them, instructing them. He's been giving them his promises. And now he says to them, when he comes to the close of this particular talk, he says, let's go. Arise. And you know, when the Lord said to them, arise, Bob, I know they got up. He didn't have to keep talking. He said, arise, let's go. And evidently they went out. And evidently, I don't know this, but it may be as they walked, the Lord, and here's his disciples. And as they walk, evidently, they must have passed a vineyard. I don't know that, but I just suppose that they passed a vineyard. And that's when he spake these words. You see, these words, you don't divide the Bible up into chapters. That's for our convenience and help. I've told you that. But he says, arise, let us go hence. And as they went, good possibility they passed a vineyard, and he turned to them, he said, I'm the true vine. I'm the true vine. Our Lord used illustrations. He said, consider the lilies of the field. They toil not, neither do they spin, and yet Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like these. You know something about a sparrow? Well, a sparrow never falls to the ground without your Father. And he said, the kingdom of heaven is like a great tree, and so forth. The kingdom of heaven is like a net cast into the sea. He saw these things, and he showed them these things. And he said, I'm the vine. There is no other. No, he didn't say, I am a vine. I am the vine. I am the vine. You see, God is in Christ, and all that eternal God has for men, spiritually, eternally, and always, is in Christ. He said, I am the vine. I am the source. I am the fountain. I am the vine. Let me show you that in several places. Turn back to John 3. Christ is the vine. I want you to see this in your Bible and mark it. John chapter 3. Christ is the vine. You know, he said, I am the door. Spiritually, in the kingdom of God, there are not several doors. He's not a door. Moses a door and Christ a door. No, he said, I'm the door. He said, I am the bread of life. I am the water of life. I am the way, the truth, the life. Definite article. I'm the only one. And here in John 3:35, listen, the Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hands. I'm the vine. I'm the fountain. I'm the source. I'm the life. I'm the bread. Everything is in me. Look at Colossians 2. Just keep your text there, John 15, and turn to Colossians 2 a moment. Listen, these are so vital, these scriptures. They need to be committed to memory. Colossians 2, verse 9, listen. For in Christ dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead, bodily. In Christ dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you're complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. He's everything. That's what he's saying to these disciples. I am the vine, the true vine. I am the true vine. And over in 1 John 5, I'd like you to turn there also. 1 John 5. Let's begin reading with verse 10. 1 John 5:10. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believes not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life's in his Son. I'm the vine, I'm the door, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life, I'm the bread, I'm the water, I'm the fountain. I am, Christ said. This life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And these things I've written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, that you may believe on the name of the Son. So back to the text. Christ said, I'm the true vine. And he says, secondly, my Father is the husbandman. My Father is the owner. The husbandman here is the owner. He's the farmer. He's the vine dresser. It's his vineyard. It's his vine. It's his crop. It's his purpose that will be accomplished. This is not, you see, I am the vine. This is not a wild vine. This vine didn't just come up. This is not a stray vine. This is a vine planted and purposed. Every plant that my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. I am the vine. That's true. We'll get to the branches in a minute, but I'm the vine. And it's not a wild vine. It's not a stray vine. My Father is the vine dresser, the vine planter, the husbandman, the farmer. He did it according to His will. Let's turn to Ephesians 1. Let's see that in Ephesians chapter 1. You're familiar with this, but let's read it again. My Father is the husbandman. Things are given to Christ by the Father's will. Now, Ephesians 1, verse 3. Now, listen to it. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him, in love having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. My Father is the husbandman. This is all His purpose and His will. Listen to verse 9. Ephesians 1:9. Having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His purpose, which He purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time He might gather together all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are on earth, even in Him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. My Father's the husbandman. I wish I could just shout this to the whole world. I am the vine. There's no water. There's no living water but Christ, the living water. There's no bread. He said, I am the bread from heaven. There's no other source. There's no other bread. I am the bread. I am the water. I am the vine. And it didn't spring up by accident. It's not a stray vine or a wild vine. My Father planted it. My Father is the husbandman. That's what the vine's doing here. He willed it. He works all things after the counsel of His will. All right, let's go to verse 2. I'm the vine. My Father's the husbandman. Verse 2. Now, two words appear over and over as I called your attention a few moments ago, branches and fruit. I am the true vine. My Father is back of this whole thing. It's His purpose, His will. He's the farmer. He's the husband. But there's some branches and some fruit. Now, listen. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He, the husbandman, He, the vine dresser, He, the Father, will take it away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He, the vine dresser, will purge it, cleanse it, prune it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now, who are the branches? What are these branches? Christ said, I'm the vine. I'm the vine. My Father's the husbandman. Who are the branches? Well, down here in verse 7, He tells us, or verse 5, He tells us, I am the vine, you're the branches. You're the branches. His people are the branches. They're people. They're His sheep. They're His elect. He's the vine. We're the branches. And branches grow out of the vine. Branches have their beginning in the vine, and they grow out of the vine. Branches grow out of the vine. Are they part of the vine? So every branch in, now let's see, that's what branches are. Branches are people, His elect, His sheep. What is the fruit? We'll get to this verse. What's this fruit? Keep talking about fruit. Well, I'll tell you, I looked throughout the Word to find a definition of fruit. You know, it's not plural here, it's singular, fruit. It's always F-R-U-I-T, fruit. And there's only one place that I can turn, Galatians 5, and find what I believe to be an accurate description of the fruit He's talking about here, this fruit. every branch in me that beareth not fruit. Not fruits. You know, when he talked about false prophets, he talked about you shall know them by their fruits. That's their converts. That's the results of their false ministry. But here he talks about the branch bearing fruit. Fruit. Much fruit. All right, let's look at Galatians 5, verse 22. Now here is, it's tell, but the fruit of the Spirit. The Spirit who regenerated us, and the Spirit of God who dwells in us, and the Spirit of which it is said, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. This is the fruit. But the fruit, and this is singular, this is not plural, it doesn't say fruits of the Spirit, it says fruit. The fruit of the Spirit is love. We ran into this when I was reading John 15 a while ago. This is my commandment, that you love one another. That you love one another as I've loved you. And this fruit of the Spirit is love. He that loveth not knoweth not God. God is love. Love is of God. So this is the fruit of the Spirit. Love for Christ, for one another. Joy. Joy. We rejoice in the Lord. Paul, this was his theme in Philippians. Rejoice in the Lord. There's a joy in the love of Christ. Joy. That my joy might remain in you. That your joy might be full. Joy. How many times does that word appear in the Bible? Joy. Happiness. Happiness in Christ. Satisfaction. Joy. All right, thirdly, peace. Peace. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace. He said, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. My peace I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. He purchased peace by the blood of his cross. You know what? Peace. Long-suffering. Is that the next word? Long-suffering. That's patience. Wait on the Lord. Talk about the patience of Job. Long-suffering. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Patience with the providence of God. Patience with the will of God. Patience with the trials of grace. That's patience. Gentleness. Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Gentleness. Kindness. Tenderness. That's the fruit of the Spirit. Goodness. Just plain goodness. Generosity. Liberality. Honesty. Goodness. Truthfulness. Dependability. That's goodness. Faith. That's trust. That's day-by-day trust in God. Trust. Meekness is the next word. That's humility. Let not a man think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but be humble. God resisteth the proud, giveth grace to the humble. What hast thou that thou didst not receive? Who maketh thee to differ? Humility, temperance, that's moderation. That's enjoying the good things of God, enjoying them in moderation. Let your moderation be known unto all men. Moderation in dress, moderation in conduct, moderation in life, moderation in eat and drink, moderation in conversation, moderation. Not an extremist, moderate. There's the fruit right there. Now, question my mind. That's the fruit right there. That's the evidences of the presence of God. That's the evidences of the Spirit of God. It's not doctrine. It's these things right here. It's not theological exactness. It's not a system of doctrine. It's not being in the right church. It's not being having the right theology. Here's the fruit right here that he's talking about. All right, turn back to my text. I'm the vine. My Father planted this thing, started this thing, purposed it. If he's the husbandman. He's the farmer. He's in charge of this vineyard. Everything that grows and every wind that blows and every branch that grows and every grape that comes out is all in his will. He's in charge of this thing. Now, you're the branches. And the fruit, no question about it, the fruit is love. The love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. It's joy. It's peace. It's long-suffering, gentleness. Now, verse 2 says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit. At first glance, this seems to be saying this. Now, listen to me. At first glance, this seems to be saying this. That there are people in Christ, actually in Christ, who have no love, who have no joy, who have no peace, who have no faith, who have no goodness, no gentleness, no patience, no kindness, no moderation. That can't be. That can't be. That absolutely cannot be. For the Bible says, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. You know what the Word says? He's none of his. It can't be. Because in verse 5, look at verse 5, I am the vine, you're the branches, he that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Much love, much joy, much peace, much gentleness. I'm the vine, you're the branches, and if you abide in me, you'll bring forth fruit. Well, brother man, what's he saying in verse 2? This is exactly what he's saying here. You see, Judas was one of the disciples. What he's saying is this. I'm not saying that Judas was with them at this particular time, but he was one of the disciples. He is saying this in this verse. These branches that bear no fruit are people who claim to be in Christ, who profess to be in Christ, who by outward association even appear to be in Christ. I could name you several. Judas, Simon Magus, Demas, Hermogenes, Phygellus, Alexander the coppersmith. Paul talks about lots of them who appeared to be in Christ, who claimed to be in Christ, who by association were in the church. And in time they shall be exposed. He will take them away. That's what he's saying. Every branch that claims to be in me, that appears to be in me, that by association even with you appear to be in me. But if it does not bring forth fruit in time, he'll take it away. It will be exposed. In time, it'll be exposed. It'll be taken away. But look at the next line. And every branch that beareth fruit, every branch that beareth fruit, God doesn't take it away, but he will purge it. He will purge it. Why is he purging? You know what purging is? I used to drive up here, up 23, up Ohio. We used to pass that grape vineyard there, that winery where they make the wine, up on 23 on the left, I guess on left and the right. And you pass there at a certain time, and I'm telling you, it looks like they've destroyed those vines. They cut those branches back so far. That just looks like they've destroyed those vines. But I'm told from folks in California to prune a grapevine, and when you think you've pruned it too much, do it a little more. And I'll tell you, the Lord does, he does purge us. He does prune us. He does cut us. He does try us. He does that. He does it. And I tell you why he does it. He does it in order that we may bring forth more fruit. More fruit. Oh, I tell you, these trials and experiences, these purgings, these purifyings, tribulation worketh patience. I'll tell you, when we discover what we are, we're a little more kind to others, more gentle. You see, what? Now, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, patience, kindness, faith, moderation. I know these things in principle. When God regenerates a believer, when God saves a believer, in principle, these things are in us. But like I said in a message recently, these things must be also taught us. They must also be taught us. We must grow in these things, grow in grace, become more loving, love Christ more, love each other more, become more joyful, grow in peace, experience the peace of God more than ever as you grow. Long-suffering, patience, kindness, gentleness, not so quick to condemn or quick to judge or quick to get angry. Patience, kindness, gentleness, temperance. Well, how do these things learn? Well, they learn by experience. They learn by valley experience. They learn by trouble. They learn by suffering. They learn by tears. They learn by, as God teaches us, our own frailty and foolishness and weakness. And how do you learn not to say anything after you've said it two or three times and cried over it? And then you quit saying it. How do you learn to hold your temper? By realizing the results of what you've done with that temper. I've had enough of that problem. Somebody said, well, I boiled over, but I'm simmered down. Yeah, but everybody's scalded around you. And they don't heal that quickly, you know. You learn. We've got to learn these things. Well, how are we going to learn? Well, we learn them by purging. See, every branch that claims to be in me and professes to be in me and appears to be in me and so forth, he'll take it away. He'll take it away. You say, well, folks used to come here. Well, that's all right. God will take them away. Folks used to claim to believe the gospel. God will take them away. After a while, they'll be exposed. But every branch that beareth fruit, this fruit we've been talking about, God will purge it, that it may bring forth more fruit. That's the reason he's working on us and chasing us. And that's the reason everything doesn't go just like we want it to go, because he wants some more fruit. When are you satisfied with an apple tree?
More fruit.
When are you satisfied with a grapevine?
More fruit.
Go out there and find two or three grapes. Next year I want five. Next year I want 10. Next year I want a bushel. Next year I want a carload. And so I'll have to keep working with it, says Cecil. Keep pruning it. I want more fruit. All right, look at the next verse. Now you're clean, purged, purified through the word which I've spoken unto you. Now, let me tell you something. I'm the vine. My Father's taking care of this thing. And you're the branches. And the branches that bear fruit, love, joy, peace, so forth, my Father will keep working with them to get more. And he'll work with a knife. What's the best knife he works with? That up there, the Word. You can say what you want to about affliction. It's good for me that I've been afflicted. That's fine. It's good for me that I've been tried. That's fine. It's good for me to cry a little. That's fine. But I'll tell you where most of the work is done on this sinner, and I know on you, is reading right here. That's where I learn love, right here. That's where I learn. That's where I learn joy. That's where I get my joy, Bob, right here. And I'll tell you, the people who are neglecting this book, neglecting the sword, the pruning shears, the knife, are missing the fruit. This is where I learn patience. This is where I learn moderation, temperance. This is where I learn peace. This is it right here, the Word of God. The Word of God. And we need to get into it. It's about here. Turn to 2 Timothy. Let me read this to you. 2 Timothy 3. See, this is not what this is saying. 2 Timothy 3. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. Now then, all Scripture, 2 Timothy 3, 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That instruction in righteousness, is that instruction in imputed righteousness? Well, yes, but not altogether. That's instruction in righteousness. Not just imputed, but a righteousness of God's people. They are righteous people. Read on. That the man of God himself, the child of God, might be perfect, mature, truly furnished unto all good works, you see. That the word instructs me in good works and righteousness and how to behave and how to talk and how to conduct myself and how to be generous and liberal as my Father in heaven, you know, has been merciful. I'm merciful. Learn that from the word. Now, verse 4, back at the text. Verse 4, quickly. Now, you abide in me, you branches. Here's another word that's used frequently, abide, 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 abide. If you say an abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. What does the word abide mean? Well, any of you can get one of those concordances in there for $10, and you can look up any of these Greek or Hebrew words. The Greek word means, abide means to live, to dwell. That's what it means, to dwell. It means to continue. It means to remain. So verse 4 says, remain in me, live in me, dwell in me, and I dwell in you, and I remain with you. That's what he's saying. Look back at John 14:16. John 14:16, this same word, abide. Across the page, John 14:16. I will pray the Father, he'll give you another comforter, that he may abide. He may dwell, he may live, remain in you, with you. All right, we dwell in Christ. Christ dwells in us. We dwell in his word. Look at verse 7 of our text, John 15. You abide in me and my words dwell in you. Live in you, remain in you, continue in you. Verse 10, you keep my commandments, you abide, dwell in my love. So this is what he's saying in verse 4. Abide in me, and I in you. The branch cannot bear fruit of itself. Now let me ask you a question. What is the fruit called? What is a regular conversational term? What are grapes called? The fruit of the what? The vine. It's not the fruit of the branches. It's the fruit of the vine. And that's what Paul said this, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. He said in another passage I read a few Sundays ago, Paul said, I labored more abundantly than anybody, but not I, Christ in me. So, somebody says here, well, people ought not brag about their love. It's not theirs, it's his. People ought not brag about their joy. Don't go around and tell me you're joyful. It's not mine, it's his. I'm joyful because he is the fruit of the vine. Abide in me and I in you. The branch cannot bear fruit of itself. I don't have any love, but I have the love of Christ. Joy, peace. I'm not talking about my peace. I'm talking about him who said, my peace I give unto you. My faith. It's not. That's what he's saying here. You can't, no more can you accept your abide in me. It's not mine, it's his. And I tell you, every branch that claims to be me and appears to be in me, and by association, is not my Father will take it away eventually. There's no love, joy, peace, kindness, gentleness, meekness, faith, temperance. It's just not there. But those that are in me, truly in me, my Father will purge it. He'll work on it with the Word, with the sword of the Word. And it's going to bring forth more fruit. Now, abide in me and abide in my Word. Dwell in me, continue in me. You can't produce this fruit. I hear people say, I can't do that. I know that. Never said you could. I can't.
He can.
I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. I can if he's there, except in me. Look at verse 5 now. I am the vine. I repeat that. You are the branches. He's the source and the fountain, the spring. The vine cannot exist without the branch. Read on. He that abideth in me and I in him, believers are one. Let me ask you a question. When you look at a vineyard and you say to your wife, look at that vine and look at those branches. Aren't those pretty vines and branches? No, you don't. You say, isn't that a pretty vineyard? They're all one. And Christ, and you look at a person and you say, he's got a nice head and he's a nice body too. No, you say, he's a nice person. That person looks good. The whole person. You don't isolate the head and the body and the vine and the branches, so they're one. He, I am the vine, you're the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him. That's what he's saying. The same will bring forth much fruit. Yes, he will. If he continues in Christ and dwells in Christ and Christ in him, I promise it. I'll guarantee you he'll bring forth fruit. He can't help but bring forth fruit. He's going to do it. And if he doesn't, God will take him away. Without me, you can do nothing. Look at verse 6. If a man abide not in me, if he's truly not... Now, we've got the word abide here. If a man does not dwell in me and I don't dwell in him, if a man does not live in me and I don't live in him, even though he claims it, he's cast forth as a branch. When the vine dresser comes to the vineyard, the branches which bear fruit will receive his special attention. He's going to prune them. God's going to visit us. I hope he does. That's what you prayed a while ago. I hope he does. Let him come with whatever he comes with. Whatever he comes with. That's all right. Because I know I'm in the vine when I get his special attention. If you be without chastisement, you're a bastard. You're not a son. Father chasing, he'll prune every branch that bears fruit. He wants some more. But those, when he comes, and those branches which are hanging around the vine, hanging around, diseased and dead and fruitless, what's he going to do? Well, he tells you, verse 6, he said, this branch is withered and abides not in me. My Father will gather them and cast them into the fire, and they'll burn. That's like the tares. But I tell you this, this is not my work or your work. It's God's work. And I warn every preacher who's here and who hears this tape, you better leave wheat and tares alone. You leave branches alone. Whether you think they're withered, lively, dead, you don't know whether they're bearing fruit anyway. I don't either. Their fruit may be artificial. They may have hung it on there themselves. It's hard for us to tell by outward appearance. I look over this congregation. I can't describe how I love this congregation, how comfortable I am up here, how happy I am to be here, how happy to just open this word here and the little notes I jotted down yesterday and come and visit with you and preach. But
I don't know who's in Christ and who's not. Do you?
I don't know. That's not my business. That's not my business. I wish preachers would get out of the vine-cutting business and the pruning business and the purging business. It's not our business. When the vine dresser comes, my Father's a husbandman, and he'll come and he'll take care of, he'll lovingly take care of each branch. He wants more fruit, and he'll trim them and prune them and fix them, and they'll bring forth much fruit. And if there's a vine there, a branch there that's dead and diseased and not, he'll recognize it and he'll whack it off and throw it over there. He'll whack it off here and throw it over there. And then he'll gather it together. That's what it says here. And he'll burn them. But I'm... too stupid and foolish and blind to go out here stumbling around in my Lord's vineyard and start cutting on branches. That's just not my business. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to assume
that every branch is in the vine. I'm going to assume that. And let the vine dresser. Is that all right, fellas? That's right. Let the vine dresser himself.
Because he's the only one with those sovereign eyes. But here's good news, verse 7. Good news. If you abide in me, you dwell in me. My words dwell in you. You ask what you will. You ask what you will, and it'll be done. Well, you know, some people take that wrong. You don't. I know that. You're wise in the Scripture. This is not to be understood of riches and honor and perfect health and material and physical luxuries. You know better than that. That's not really what we will. My God will take care of our needs, having food and raiment therewith to be content. I know the dangers. He talks about it in 1 Timothy. I know the dangers of complacency, luxury, riches, too much. We've spoiled a lot of our children with too much. We've taken the struggle out of life. They just flat. Some children are not worth a dime because they just had too much. They had no struggle in life. They've had no conflict. Everything they want, the little fellas get. And that's not good. And I know for me, spiritually, it's not good for me to have everything that this old flesh wants. And he's not talking about ask what you will, physically, materially, luxuriously, health and wise and everything. But I'll tell you what the believer wants. This is what he wills, and this is what he'll get if he abides in Christ. Oh, that I may win Christ and be found in him. Oh, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Oh, that I may attain unto the resurrection of the dead. You've got it. You've got it. You ask what you will. You just ask what you will. You abide in me, and my words abide in you. You just ask what you will. What will you ask? Come on now. Well, I want a better job. Well, it'd just take you away from the Lord. Well, I want more money so I can get rid of all my worries. Well, it'd just spoil you. You'd become more entangled with that stuff. Well, I won't. No, I'll tell you what I want. I want to know him. I want to know him. I want to have that love and joy and peace and faith and love. Do you? Ask what you will. Ask what you will. And it shall be done. And watch this, one other verse, and I'll quit. He said, herein is my Father glorified. Watch this next verse. I got to give this verse right here and let you go. John 15, verse 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. You want to glorify God? Don't go buy you some more books of theology so you can show everybody your library. Show him your love. Show him your faith. Show me your faith by your works. Show him your joy. Show him your kindness. Show him your generosity. My Father, glorified. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. And what? What did he say? Glorify your Father. And so shall you be my disciples. He doesn't say that you're his disciples because you bear fruit, but you bear fruit, and that's the evidence that you're his disciple. That's good, isn't it? That's a good chapter. I love it. All right.
Well, I've been blessed tonight, haven't you?